on that I decided to put together for this workshop, because I realized a number of years ago, the others are not dismissed yet, they're still coming in. I realized a number of years ago that I really didn't know my children. In fact, if you think of the children that you get every week, how many of you could tell you, tell me what they like, what they don't like, who their friends are, where they go to school, what is their favorite thing to do, what do they not like at school, who their best friend is, if they're going to pray, what would they pray? How many of you know where they are spiritually? Are you absolutely sure they're truly reborn? Can they tell you a time and a place when they asked Jesus in their heart? I didn't know any of this stuff. And the Lord really convicted me that I was just teaching little bodies.
Yeah.
And trusting the Lord after that, but I really didn't know them. I have a harder time keeping up with my 10 grandchildren. Well, and then I got 7 great-grandchildren, but he just really convicted me. And so he began to give me tools. And one of them was the All About Me tool. And so what I have them do now is I have them do a book. Did you know that your name's in the book? Now, we got more people coming in. I don't want to get started too soon. Are we into this next hour for sure? She said one had not let out from the first hour. Are we okay? Okay. Fine with me. I want to start, but I don't want to leave anybody out in case they're coming in late. Boys and girls, did you know that God has a book in heaven? And in his book is everybody who loves him. And you know if you love him and you've asked him in your heart, your name's in his book. Did you know that God had a book? Did they just release? Are more people coming? God has a book.
No, they haven't yet.
And where's Lucretia? Where'd my helper go?
I'm going to get some coffee.
Okay. I'm going to give you this handout for this visual right now. Since we're just kind of waiting, we're going to get started. Just watch, pass that through, and everybody take one, okay? Because I have it in the front of my book. And the front of my book says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and love him and esteem his name. That's in the Bible. That shows me God has a book. And in thy book, they were all written the days that were ordained for me when there was not even one of them. That says it in God's book. And you know, I have a book here too. I don't have God's book. But I have a book because I want to know about you. It's like God knows all about you. He knows everything about you. But I don't know everything about you. And I want to learn. We're going to get started right now.
Okay. There's other people still that haven't finished their session.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, that's what I was worried about.
Huh?
Yeah. But I'm going to get started anyway.
Okay.
Because don't we supposed to go at 10:30?
Yeah.
Well, wait, they may come in later. But we'll still have some fun. I'll just get started with this.
Okay. Yeah, there's...
And anybody else is coming in?
Sure about it.
Okay. Because we're supposed to start at 10:30, right?
Yeah. Thank you.
Aren't we supposed to start at 10:30?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm going. I'm going for it, even if they they haven't finished the other session. So boys and girls, God has a book. And we know that. Now, I want a book about you. So I have you know what? Do you think he really has everybody's name in there that loves him? Really? How many of you think he really does have a book? And then everybody says, yeah, he says he does. So can God lie? No. Well, I said to God, God, I want to know, too. So I wanted a book. Now, I can't do God's book, but I can find a book that I'll learn more people about you. But that's what I want to do. So I am going to have you fill out a little form. And Lucretia's going to pass out the All About Me, because I want to learn all about you. It says All About Me. And now what I do is I give them this form, and they fill it out if they're old enough to write. If not, we interview them, and we just keep filling a little bit more each week. And they give it back to me, okay? And you know, in God's book, he died for every one of these people in his book. She's going to give you what? Now, so what it looks like this. Let me just get mine out. Oh, no, I can't. Give me one. I lost mine. Lucretia, I lost mine, so I don't know what you're thinking. All right, so here you can put their picture, if they allow you to do that. Some schools will use very, very carefully and have parents' permission. I tell them to draw a picture of themselves if they can't do a picture. And they start, my name is, and I'm going to go around and learn that about you. What is your name?
Ruth.
Hi, Ruth. Okay, you can write your name there. You don't have to write on this one. And then how old are you?
63.
Oh, 63. A woman that would tell her age, well, I didn't. I don't mind telling mine either. I'm 77. Now I tell you that. And my address is, sometimes I say, you do not have to fill out anything, all of it, boys and girls. If you can't answer, this is not a test. This is just to help Miss Darlene know how to know you and to get pray for you. And by the time you get this, teachers, guess what? Mm-hmm. You know a lot about your kids. Mm-hmm. And you can come back, when you come back and they say, my hobbies are photography, say, hey, I'm so glad you learned how to take pictures. I'm so glad that. So you could identify with them when they come in because you've read through your book. Mm-hmm. You know, so this gives you one tool where you can really learn just the secular type things about them. And they have a hard time answering them, but I will read you some examples in my book in just a minute. While we're waiting for some people, because we don't want to sing this song until they get in. We've got to get lots of voices into the song. Now, boys and girls, if Jesus could die for the whole world, that's wonderful, and he did. Would he have come and died for just one if there was just to save one? Does Jesus love that much? Really?
Yes.
Even if there was one out of the 7 billion people, he still would come and die?
Yes.
Yes, he would. Guess what? I know that person. I do. I have him in my book. I have that person in my book. Don't tell anybody. Do you want to find out what it is? Who wants to find out who it is? Can you guess? Anybody want to take a guess? If God could die for anybody, who do you think it might be? Maybe it'd be a president of the United States, a king? Maybe. I'll tell you what, come on. Come on. I'm going to let you find out. Now, you won't tell everybody if I show you.
No.
Don't tell anybody. Okay. Turn around. Face the glass. Okay, I'm going to show it to you, but you can't tell. Keep it a secret, all right?
Oh.
Do you know who it is now?
Yeah.
Guess what's inside? You. If you were the last person, the only person, he still would die for you. That's how important you are to God. And you're important to me, too, so I keep my own book. Here's some of my Andrew Jackson kids way back in the fifth grade school, but I have my kids in my book, and it's amazing what they write. This one says, my name is Victoria, and I'm 10, and I live on Mohawk Drive, and I don't really have a pet, but I love playing four squares, and I feel happy when I'm with my family, and when I grow up, I want to be a teacher and a doctor. So already I've learned that Victoria wants to be a teacher and a doctor when she comes in next week. Then we know. Thank you. I'm glad you came in. So we were just talking about God's book and one way that we can get to know our kids. God has a book. And then what I do with those wonderful All About Me sheets is I put them under ABC by their first name. And we use it for our prayer book. My husband and I pray for our children by name. And we try to memorize just one child and one thing about that child. Start small. So that child, when he comes in, you can say, hey, I read in your paper, you really like baseball. Did you get to see baseball? You finished this week? Something that you can identify with. What does that make them feel? Very, very special. So that's one way you can really get to know your children, is have your own All About Me book. And so we'll be passing out both the cover sheet on to put on your notebook, and then to start making All About Me sheets for every child. Okay? So you will know that Esmeralda over here wants to be an astronaut. And please pray for me that I can get into college, because I don't think I can, she says. When I want to go up, please pray for me about my life. Please pray for me to be healthy, for my grandma's back. You will learn so much about your children. I have actually had children say, please pray for me that I will not commit suicide. They have written that on a page, yes. Oh, I had, like I told you earlier, I had a 5-year-old that was his. Please pray for me to be a good girl and help me not to L-Y-E, lie. L-Y-E. I don't want to lie anymore. One thing that I noticed in teaching in the inner city Santa Ana schools where Tommy speaks, when I first started there, the police were pigs. They were hated by the Latinos. They were afraid that the police were going to arrest their mom or their dad or grandma and grandpa, send them back to Mexico. They hate President Trump because, as far as they're concerned, President Trump's going to get rid of their family. And they did not like the police. So Santa Ana did something very interesting a number of years ago. Santa Ana, it's a little sidebar, put on an entire police department just for schools. It has a chief, it has all of your department. The entire department is just for the schools. Because let me tell you something, ladies. In that one school, for 70 after-school volunteers that were working on different tuition, you know, tutoring and everything else. When they ran their extensive check, they found on a list of 70 volunteers, you're going to be shocked at this, 17 known pedophiles.
Wow.
That's how desperate it is. I went back to New York, Calvary Chapel, New York, and I found out that there are pedophiles and lesbians and homosexuals in every place where there are children. In your church, you have pedophiles. Many of them unknown pedophiles, but they are there. And there are homosexuals coming in, not as homosexuals, but to infiltrate, so that later they can call you hate mongers. It's happening, and we need to be aware of it. There is a book called The Serpents Among Us. I cannot remember the author's name, but he told me not to read it, but to give it to a man to read, and then only read the last three chapters, because it's pretty brutal. He is a sex offender officer at Calvary Chapel, New York, Finger Lakes, New York. He is an actual police officer that deals with this, and they finally talked him into writing a book about it. But we have got to pray and be on our knees like never before, and know our kids. The more you know your kids, the more they're going to share with you. So let's start with something happier on that line. So we're hoping that Miss Darlene can do this. I am not as technological as mine. You have the copy of Children's Ministry Getting to Know You. Do you see the highlight?
Yes.
The highlight is going to be new words. So we're going to sing along with Julie Andrews, right from The King and I.
Okay.
And I want you to out-sing her when it comes to the highlight, okay? The highlight is going to be a little bit different. Everybody got one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You better give me another one.
Okay.
You know me, I'm losing my
mind.
Here,
I'll give you.
No, I haven't.
Okay. Got it? All right, we're going to sing and get to know. This is going to be fun. And let's see if we can get her going here. Come on, Lord, this book this morning. Wait a minute, let's start the very beginning. Hold. Go back.
Let's do it.
How many weeks ago?
Okay.
Let's hope we start at the beginning.
I always wanted to be on Broadway.
I know.
If you become a teacher, by your pupils you'll be taught. As a teacher, I'm learning. You'll forgive me if I boast. And I've now become an expert on the subject I like most.
What is it?
Getting to know you.
Now we're going to sing. Now sing with her.
Getting to know you.
Come on. Getting to know all about you. Getting to love you. Getting to hope you'll love me.
Getting to know you.
Putting it God's way and nicely. You know what?
You're precisely his cup of tea.
You're his cup of tea, boys and girls.
Getting to know you, getting to feel free and easy.
When we're with you,
when we're with you, getting to know what to say.
Haven't you noticed, boys and girls?
Haven't you noticed? Suddenly he's right here with us.
Stop, singer.
Because of all the beautiful and new things we're learning about you.
Day by day, we're letting you every week.
Getting to know him, getting to know all about him, getting to love him, getting to know he loves me, getting to know him, putting it my way exactly.
What is he?
It's precisely our very key.
That's who he is. He's our key to the kingdom.
Getting to know him, getting to feel his easy. When we are with him,
getting to know,
we know how to pray.
Soon we will notice,
soon we'll notice, suddenly we're right and right.
who their best friends were. And that's why we developed the All About Me notebook. Those of you that came in later, you see that you can take a sheet as simple as this, pass it out, and have them fill it out, or you fill it out for them, and add to it each week, even if you only get, it's not a test, they don't have to answer every question, but over a period of a few weeks, you'll have more and more information on them. Put it in your notebook under A, B, C, D, and I've got stacks of these at home. I've been doing this for a long time, I can't tell you, I mean, I've got notebooks this thick. But I do know my kids now, like I never did before, and that is, in fact, I'll ask you questions. Somebody tell me what their favorite sport or game is. Somebody raise their hand, tell me, what's your favorite sport or game?
Soccer.
Soccer. Anybody else like soccer?
Yay.
Softball. How about somebody else?
Baseball.
See, now I know that about you. What about something, things I hate doing most are?
Dusting.
Dusting. Chores. Oh, we gotta read about some of the things. It bugs me when nobody plays with me. It bugs me when they make fun of me. I feel happy when God is by my side, and when I grow up, guess what he wants to be now? A policeman. Mm-hmm. Because wow. In inner city Santa Ana, they came in with those police departments, and now the police are on that campus. Mm-hmm. And they're talking to the kids, and they're getting to know them. And it's the first time, the first 8 years I was there, they were pigs. But now they're their friends. Wow. And I love it. This is a young man who wants to be a police officer, and I see it all the time now. I see that answer from them. Things I hate doing most are washing the dishes. Some of them I hate to, things I like to do best is to swim, and I hate going to the swap meet when I have to wait on my mom. Please pray for me about my sister that's soon with me, and that my sister will come and live with me so soon because she's got a sick baby and we need to help her. And you'll get all kinds of things. Please pray for me about staying alive. Yes. Talk about that one, staying alive, literally. And my best friend is Fernando. Things I like best to do is to run laps so that when Daniel comes to my class next week, I can say, hey, how many laps did you get done this week? What does that make him feel like?
Yes.
So I highly recommend you do this with your children. Get to know them personally, and then you have a prayer book.
Yes.
And that they are, and then what you didn't see, I demonstrated before. I said if there was only one person in the world, that person would still, Jesus would die for. Do you know who it is? Even if it's one? And then I have him come up and take a peek. It's you. Yes, question.
Being as we're like halfway through the year in our release time classes and good news clubs and whatever, do you think it's too late to do something like this?
No.
Or we can do it at any time?
Anytime. I highly recommend it anytime, believe me. There's just that much more that you'll learn from them that much quicker. Right? So that's one way you can learn. Questions from you, I can learn from you just by going through it. In fact, it's fun to fill one out and let them see about you.
Yeah.
Okay? What do you think Miss Darlene's hobby is?
Yeah.
You know, and what do you think Miss Darlene or Mrs. Tyson knows how to do? So that's really very important. So there's the big one is, how well do you know their spiritual inventory? Mm-hmm. Now, Lucretia's going to pass out a form that came to me over 40 years ago from a teacher in child evangelism that now has gone home to be with Jesus. But I have been so grateful for this spiritual inventory questionnaire. Okay, it's a questionnaire you give the children, and they tell them it's not a test. You don't even have to put your name at the top if you don't want to, but they do. And it goes like this. Fill in the spaces as well as you can, boys and girls. Relax, this is not a test. She's going to be passing it out to you. What do you remember about the time you asked Jesus into your heart? Somebody answer that for me. What do you remember about the time you asked Jesus into your heart?
I felt like the love that I've never felt with anybody.
Felt the love like you've never felt like anybody. Mm. When was it? Somebody else tell me when they asked Jesus into their heart.
October 21st,
1983 in her home. Who else knows when about? You know how long it took Miss Darlene? Took me a long time. I was 3 years old. And praise God, it was a good news club years later when I grew up and I was teaching in a good news. I had totally forgot that. Totally forgot at 3 years of age. I had raised my hand and asked Jesus into my heart. And I'm teaching a good news club in my home 3 years later. And I had a flashback. And I went to my mom. Mom, did I go to a little corner house and there was rose trees out front and there was a lady with a piano and I was sitting on the floor and there was a flannelgraph and I was raising my hand, sitting crisscross. I mean, I had the whole picture. Did I go to some kind of a Bible club when I was little? Oh, yeah. You went to Mrs. McEntee's. Now, this is from a home that we didn't go to church regularly, okay? And I said, really? And so the whole flashback is, how old was you? Well, let's see. Your brother was a kindergartner, and he used to walk you down there. I guess you were three.
Wow.
And then years later, I become a good news club teacher. It's just amazing. So I was. So what? Where was it? Can you remember where anyone, boys or girls? Who can remember where they were?
Pacific Ocean.
The Pacific Ocean.
On a naval ship.
So. On a naval ship. Yeah. And who helped you? Did anybody help you? Was there anybody that helped you? And okay, I'll read you a couple of these. When was it? I was 3 years old. Where was it? Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa on a Wednesday night service. Who helped you? By a Sunday school teacher. Why did you accept Jesus at that time? He sounded like the kind of friend I needed, and he'd never leave me. What? Who have you told Jesus is your Savior? I tell my friends and my family neighbors. Who could you tell today? My cousin, who used to know Jesus, but he's kind of drifted away. And this is a prayer I have children pray that God gave me. Mm-hmm. I challenge you to challenge the children with this prayer. Boys and girls, how many of you, now you as adults even, how many of you know somebody who used to walk with the Lord and has walked away? How many of you know someone that used to, or at least claimed to be a Christian, and they're no longer seeing it, okay? And they will raise their hand. And I say, now I don't want you to pray this prayer, boys and girls, unless you really mean it. This is what we're going to pray. Dear Jesus. Dear Jesus. If I should ever walk away from you, thank you that if I should ever walk away from you, I am giving you permission right now on February 1st, 2010, to do whatever you have to do to bring me back. I'm only fourth grade, but I know my, you know. So you tell them that. Do you think God honored? They will pray this and tell you. I prayed it and God brought me back. I don't know about you, but God will bring you back. And God is faithful to a child's prayer. And when a child prays that, and I've got 10 grandchildren, and he's brought them all back. I'm only waiting for the last two, all 10 of them. All three of my adult children know the Lord and their spouses. Yeah. And it's all because God is faithful to a prayer of a child. Why did you accept Jesus at the time I said that? Okay, then those true and false, you know. Who could you tell? My cousin. And they will be totally honest. Right, true or false in the square. Since I've given myself to Jesus, I am honest more often. False. She was totally honest. She's not as honest as she used to. I do not tease little kids or friends very much. Well, that's true. My prayers are not just for myself. And they go by, but they will walk to, and you will know where they are spiritually from this little form. You'll know exactly. And then write a letter to Jesus. You'll get all kinds of letters like, Dear Jesus, please make me a good daughter for my mom and my dad. And I would be better example for my baby cousin, and that she would learn to love you too. And I pray I wouldn't leave you ever, 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 would always be my Savior. This little girl was a fourth grader in our class. Lucretia knows her. She's now in sixth grade, and she's still walking tight with the Lord. She's a really good little example. But here's some others from an inner city school. When was it? It was at school. No, when was it? It was at 8 o'clock p.m. Where was it? At home. Who helped you? Just God and Jesus. Why did you accept Jesus? Because I really needed his help. Who have you told about Jesus? My mom and my dad. Who could you tell today? Everyone. Can you think of a Bible verse that proves that you have eternal life? Yes. And I asked him later, he didn't write the Bible verse down, wrote John 3:16. Do you, most of the time they can't, they have to say no. Do you feel you've given your whole self to Jesus? No. He's honest. No. See, he's holding something back. And he knows it. How has Jesus changed you? Since I've given myself to Jesus, I'm honest more often. He wrote true. I do not tease little kids. False. My prayers are not just for myself. True. I do not lose my temper. False. I read my Bible more often. True and false. I like to go to Sunday school, another church. True. And then he writes the letter, this little guy. He writes, I need help, God. My family is in a really hard time. This is inner city Latino kids. Very, very poor area. So I write you, God, I invite you, God and Jesus, to please make my wish come into my life and save my family. We need help. And here's another. Please let my mom not lose her temper as often as she does now. I know she is under pressure, but please help her. And this was a little guy that said, who could you tell today? Anyone in the class? Why did you accept Jesus at that time? I don't remember. When was it? Years ago. He's 8 years old. Where was it? Sunday school. Who helped you? My teacher. Why did you accept Jesus? I don't remember. Who have you told about Jesus? My dad. Who could you tell today? Well, most anyone. And so you'll get some amazing information from this form. Can you see the value of this form?
Yes.
So you really... I mean, I just love love, love, love using that with my kids. So that's the other thing that we have. And what have I got next now? I got all kinds of good ideas for you. But it's so important. I had to confess with my mouth that, Lord, I really don't know my kids and I don't pray for them. We talk a lot about prayer, but we don't do it. There's so much talk. Elizabeth Elliott once said, I think that prayer is the most valuable ministry that we can do, and yet it's the least actually done. And we, no matter how much you pray, how many of you feel, no matter how much you pray, you still need more prayer?
Yes.
We have a woman from North Korea in our church, a pastor's wife, who literally gets up at 3 a.m. and comes into the sanctuary like Anna, and she prays from 3 to 6 every day of the week. And she still feels she doesn't pray enough. So no matter how much you pray, great, you didn't know that about Peggy. Don't tell anybody. This next little form she's going to pass out is called, we just started a new curriculum at Calvary Costa Mesa called God's Project? What is it called? Our curriculum.
Oh, Gospel Project?
The Gospel Project.
Yeah.
I forget. And we did a VBS just this last summer. I'm always learning. I'm always learning somewhere. And they had this little tiny form that we passed out to the kids. It said level 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. It's amazing. If you don't want to do this great big, if you don't have time to do the big expensive one, the one I just showed you, although you can do it a little bit at a time every week with as many kids as you can, even if you only get one or two kids at a time, at least you know those one or two kids where they are. This is a little tiny form. This is my master copy. This is a little tiny form. And what it says is level one. This is the first time I've learned about how to have a relationship with Jesus. So he's at level one. Level two is, I have questions about Jesus and want to know more. Level three, I want to talk to someone about how to take the next step. Level four, I've made a decision to trust Jesus, but I've never been baptized. Interesting. Level five, I've made a decision to have and have been baptized. So you can see a little bit about the word just from that little form. We passed this out at a VBS, and it's amazing what we found and how we can follow up.
When you pass this out, what is it that the recipient has to do?
They circle a mark or put a check next to it or whatever.
Okay.
So I found out things right. I did this right at the beginning of the week on a 5-day club or a VBS, and I learned so much about my kids right off the bat. You know, so that's a really good little tool, an old instant tool. See, God keeps putting other tools in my hand all the time. It's so important. How many of you are brave enough to find out what the kids think about you? This next form, you know, I used in my Good News Club, but you can put Sunday school or release time or whatever, and it says this. One change I made in my life because of Good News Club or release time is, can they write some change that actually happened? Learning more about the Bible this year helped me, blank, blank, blank. Wonder what they would write there. Three, if I could change anything about my Sunday school, my release time, my goodness, from next year, it would be blank, blank, blank. What do you think they write? If I could change anything about
more,
they would want more. Some of them said, I think you should stop talking and let us play more. Or I think whatever, you know, whatever, they're very, very honest. They're going to be very, very honest with you. That's why I love my Sophie the Story technique, because I stop talking after that. I don't talk nearly as much as I used to. I just ask questions and learn about them. I'll talk a little bit about that before we're over. If I could change about a new way of teaching, if I could change anything about goodness, what would it be? What do you think they write? What do you think the child would write there about you? Anyone be honest? What do you think they might write about you, or about what kind of feedback are you getting from your kids at release time? Are you getting any feedback? Have you ever been asked them? If we could change anything, would you get some feedback?
I've asked the kids, is there
anything
that I could do to make it more interesting to you?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, no.
No,
because I wake them up all the time.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Good. If you get anything to make it more interesting, well, sometimes they say nothing. I like it just the way it is, which is wonderful. But I do get, my teacher helped me this year by, wonder what they put there. It's a good encouragement back to you if they put a positive thing, but if they put, you know, I don't know, or she didn't help me, or, you know, he did it, or thank you, you might get a thank you in there, which is, this will encourage you when you get some feedback from your own kids. The things I like best about Good News Club, you can also put the things I didn't like about Good News Club, which is, I want to put, and then on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being the very best and 5 being very poor, how would you rate your experience in coming So you'll get a good feedback there too on you. So I use that one at the end of the year to find out what they really think. But there's nothing more important, as you know, than to one, pray for your kids, number one. And we all say we should, but most of us don't. That's why I use the All About Me book. Now there's another technique I've learned. Kids worry about a whole lot more things than you realize they worry about now. I have kids literally worrying about, when I worked in the inner city Santa Ana school, they were constantly worried about their parents being taken away from them or their grandmother because of the whole thing with the immigration. You know, there's always the answer to immigration. There isn't an answer for that. Mm-hmm. But God has the answer. But I do this little thing. I have a bag, and you just pass it out, and it has a cross on it. You take the cross and you put it on the bag. And I put the bag on it and said, look what I've got. What's it? How many of you worry about something? Raise your hand if you've ever worried about something. Oh, good. Well, if you don't raise your hand, I'm calling you a liar. Everybody worries about something. And I have a worry bag here, and I'm going to need your help to do this. Are you going to help me? You want to help me? Okay. I want you to reach in there and pull something out of my worry bag. This little boy is so worried, and we get worried. These are things that boys and girls worry about. What does that say? You want to turn it over?
How you look.
How many of you ever worried about how you look? You know, what you're wearing to school that day, or how you are. Yeah, that's a big one, especially with girls, it's pink, you know. But, another one. And they get really into this, believe me.
Another one out.
What have you got? School. How many of you ever worried about school and grades? Raise your hand. And almost all. Oh, that's another one we worry about. So you see on your thing there that you can put this out in laminate, and I put a little bit. Scary things. Because anybody tell me about something scary that they're worried about? They'll tell you. Can you think of something right now you're scared of? Teachers? Is there anyone here? You're all fearless?
No.
Scared. I'm scared of the extent of the sin that's sweeping our nation. I don't know about the rest of you, but I know God's in control because we've come along far enough with God. But kids are scared about, they will tell you about someone who has a gun or their aunt. Or their, you know, when they really get close to you and they know that they can trust you, they will tell you about an uncle. And then, of course, we have to go to the abuse. There's so much abuse on campus, it's not even believe it's told us. Like I said, just at Jackson School alone, we had 17 known pedophiles. Right, and you have them in your school. You have them at your church. You have them. It's absolutely epidemic, and it's even being praised by society today. I'm going to pull the rest of them up and put them up on the board here to show you what we do with these. Now, you don't have to do these, especially with release time. You don't have time to do it. What others think. And they will start sharing. Can you share a family problem that you're having? Can you share when you were unliked by others? And how you felt. There are children who will start to share right there because others will identify. Being left alone. How many of you have been left alone? Oh, they all can tell you a time when they were lost in the store or whatever. Not doing well. Mean people. Death. They're scared to die. Most people are if they don't know. So we put them up like that. And then what are we going to do with all of these awful things? I'll tell you what Jesus tells us to do with them. We need to bring them to Him. Mm-hmm. He died on the cross so that we wouldn't have to carry those awful, scary, worry things. Dear Jesus, thank you. You know how I look. Thank you forgive me for wanting long, dark hair when I have short, curly, blonde hair. Or forgive me for when I worry so much about not having the same school clothes. You need to tell Jesus how sorry you are that you fall into that. Do you know that worry is not trusting God, isn't it? You know, when I first presented this to a little child, I said, I want you to put in there what you're afraid of. Where's the afraid one? I'm afraid of like scary things. And I had them all bow their head. I said, boys and girls, right now, tell Jesus what you're afraid of. Okay, everybody's head was bowed. Just tell him right now. And they all did. And I said, now we're going to bring that and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm not trusting you. I shouldn't be afraid of that because you're really trustworthy. You take that fear out of my heart. Take it away, Jesus. I don't want it. You think Jesus can do that for you?
Yes.
Guess what happened on that? That little girl was brand new to my club. She lived right down the street. She never came back for weeks. And I ran into her mom several weeks later. And her mother says, oh, Darlene, I've been meaning to get a hold of the reason. The reason I'm having Christy to club is we had to travel and we did this, and she's just dying to come back to your club. I said, really? She said, yes, I've been meaning to tell you this. She said, when she came out of your house that day, I didn't tell you this, but she's terrified of dogs. She was bitten when she was little, and she just goes into screaming fits whenever there's a dog. She came out of the house, and I came down the street to get her, and guess what? The neighbor's dog got out that day. She walked right up to that dog and petted him. I thought I was going to drop my teeth. And she said, Mom, you know what? We just need to ask Jesus to take the fear out of it. And he did. I'm not afraid of the dogs anymore. He just took it right out. He just did it. See what children have, that prayer of faith? They have far more faith than we do. And she's really anxious to come back to us. I said, phew. Thank goodness. What others think. So we talk about it, and then we put it in the bag. And Jesus takes it from east to the west, and he gets rid of every one of them. Mm. Wonderful illustration to do with your kids. So that's the way I do it. And again, mean people, and they will discuss with you. Sometimes you just need to ask the Holy Spirit what to do with that particular lesson that week. Do not let the curriculum run you. I'm all for curriculum. Don't hear me. That I'm antagonistic to our curriculum, I'm not. But we all have to start listening to what the Spirit says, because the Spirit knows your kids better than anybody.
Yeah.
And when we let the curriculum run us instead of the Spirit, we're in trouble. So ask the Lord which of these tools he wants you to use and when and where he wants you to do, and just feel free to be a little bit more flexible with curriculum, okay? And unfortunately, we're getting very programmed by curriculum, and that's what I love about Calvary curriculum. When you come to the Children's Ministry Conference on February 21st to 22nd, how many of you know about this? Okay, you don't know about this. February 21, 22 is the new class, so I just told last week. February 21, 22 is a huge Children's Ministry Conference that occurs once every year, put on by CalvaryCurriculum.com. You can go online. And if you can go, I highly recommend it. There's over 800 already registered. There's over 95 workshops. You will learn so much at that conference, and you will be brushing shoulders with people of every denomination, every red and yellow, black and white. You're not just in a Calvary bubble or a release time bubble. You're in a bubble of everyone from children's ministry directors all the way down to Sunday school teachers that have never done it before, and they're trying to learn, okay? So I'll be doing 5 workshops there. You'll hear some of the finest teaching you have ever done, and I would pay $300 for this workshop. That's how much I glean every single year, because even though I teach 5, I do get to go to some. My granddaughter, who's 30 years of age right now, is teaching one of the strongest ones I've ever heard of. What do you do when Johnny comes to class and wants to be Susie? It's happening. She taught in the junior high level for over 6 years, and she faced that problem, and it's coming down through the curriculum in a waterfall. And so she's doing a whole workshop on that. Unfortunately, she's doing it at the same time mine is, so I don't get to watch her, darn it. But when she showed that to her pastor, where she lives down in Oceanside, he said, oh my gosh, Jordan, you've got to do this with our church. Mm-hmm. So she's been doing it with the junior high. This conference covers everything from preschool to high school and college. So it's a whole youth conference, and anywhere you're working with you. And so even if you don't learn anything for your release time, you'll learn how to handle your own kids and your own grandchildren, and you'll get questions, because there's so many workshops, you'll have a hard time choosing which ones to go to. The keynote speakers are Jack Hibbs from Calvary Chapel, you know where Gail's from, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and John Randall's Calvary Chapel, Southern Capistrano, yeah. And then Matt Enderline is Friday night. It goes Friday from noon to 6 and all day Saturday. I highly recommend you get on Calvary curriculum and come if you possibly can to that. So that's where I learned some of the things you're just seeing here, I learned there. So every time I go, because you know, if we're not learning, we get very stale. And another thing that you do, you have to be in a constant learning mode. And I've been doing this 45 years, so I'm still learning. If you possibly can come to that, you register online, okay? And it's at Chino Hill, Diamond Bar. It's a Diamond Bar, okay. So those are some of the tools. I'm getting to know them and how important it is. I'm going to read you a poem that I'm going to give you called The Loving Teacher, and I think most of you, it's based on 1 Corinthians 13. I think most of you, the most important thing you could do, even if you don't know, is just to love the kids. And that's why knowing your children will show them how much you love them.
Yeah.
You can't love someone you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and though I teach with the skill of the finest teachers and have not love for the children, I am become only a clever speaker and a charming entertainer. And though I understand all techniques and all methods, and though I have much training, so that I feel competent, but I have no love for each child, it is not enough. If I spend many hours in lesson preparation and become tense and nervous with the strain, but have no love for the problem child, it is still not enough. For the loving teacher is very patient and very kind. She is not shocked when children bring them their confidences. Does not gossip, is not easily discouraged, does not behave in ways that are unworthy, but is at all times a living example to the children of the good way of life of which he speaks. For love never fails. But whether there be materials, they shall become obsolete. Whether there be methods, they shall become outmoded. Whether there be techniques, they shall be abandoned. For we know only a little and can pass on to our children only a little. But when we love them, then all of our efforts will become creative. And our influence will live forever in the life of each child. When I was a child, I spoke with immaturity. My emotions were uncontrolled, and I behaved childishly. But now that I am an adult, I must face life as it is, with acceptance and love for others. For now abideth skill, understanding, love. These three, and the greatest of these is love. And to encourage you further, from the conference last year, which I had no idea these quotes were there, they put up on the screen, and they will again this year, I hope. They actually will have a statue of Goliath outside the church, mm-hmm. and you can get your picture taken next to Goliath. Mm-hmm. Do you know where I stand next to Goliath? His right about there.
No,
this is where I stand. The kid will be clear down here. They actually have an actual 9-foot thing, a big poster outside the church. It's just wonderful. And you can get that through Calvary curriculum too. But what was so amazing were the, those aren't the quotes. Were the quotes. Okay, here we go. You'll see these across the screen, but this is one that, well, I bet you've heard a lot of quotes, but I bet you never, I had not heard this one. This is D.L. Moody. If I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children for God.
Amen.
You think you're in an important ministry?
Yeah.
You bet. Clovis Chappell, very famous man of God, the 1800s. We will never bring in the kingdom by simply seeking to save an adult generation. We must give God a chance that the children or the cause of righteousness is going to be defeated. But if we will save the child, we can surely reach the world. That's true. This one, C.S. Lewis. That's the last one I'm going to read to you. Children are not a distraction from the more important work. They are the most important work. Right behind prayer. Prayer first, and then children. One last poem, and then I can give you a little bit about STS, because Sally asked me to do a workshop on STS, but I wanted to challenge you to come out and see it in person. By the director of Slipping the Straw. I'll tell you in a minute about that, but I want to read you one more quick poem. And I'm sorry I didn't print this up, but I just love it, and just to encourage you. It's called The Shining. It's very short. No glowing golden mantled moon in meadow of the skies is half as beautiful as faith within a small girl's eyes. No sunlight on a field of wheat that gleams with amber grace is half as fair as the love of Christ upon a small boy's face. And oh, they walk in shining joy. They travel glory shod. The ones who lead a little boy, a little girl, to God. Mm-hmm. So congratulations for being a called person to reach children for Jesus. Keep it up. We need to get all we can. Go out and get them. When you pass schools, I challenge you. I drive by schools now because of the shootings that occurred in our nation. The Lord told me that no amount of, guards, what do you call them?
Security
is going to keep the school secure. Mm-hmm. Only God. Mm-hmm. And so I literally made it a goal to every time I pass the school to run, circle the school and pray it and ask God to protect it. And he will show me kids. He says, you see that one? Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord, I see that one. Not one prayer has been offered to me for that one. Mm-hmm. You see that one? He's hurting. Mm-hmm. Can you pray for him? Listen to the Spirit. Ask the Spirit to speak to you about these kids. You can make a tremendous impact just simply through prayer. But circle as many schools as you can. Ask God to protect it divinely from the shootings. because they're increasing, as we know. The disasters are coming. Jack Hibbs has asked us to pray for something that he has on his heart. I got to tell you this story because it was so fun.
We still have 15 minutes.
Oh, good. I got to tell you this story. Jack Hibbs knows Mike Pence. Jack Hibbs is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and he has known Mike Pence from before. Mike Pence has had him back a number of times, and he has prayed at the cabinet meetings, etc. Well, they had a big meeting just about two and a half weeks ago. People like Tony Perkins and Jim Dobson and, you know, all the big leaders were in the White House, and Jack was there, and President Trump came in, and he went like this. And you, 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 and you. They were all saying, yeah, sir, Mr. President. He says, you keep your people in the good book, and this nation might come out okay. Wow. That's what he said. They were impressed with that. And then he started talking about all his typical braggadocio things he likes to do on Twitter, about how he's ahead in Ohio, and how he's doing so well in this state, and how he's doing so well in that state, and so on and on and on. And Jack came up to him behind him. Now picture this, the president's facing that way, and he's talking to someone, and Jack comes up behind him and says, Mr. President, and his friend is on the other side, Jack Hibbs' friend, looking at him face, and he's going, what are you doing? You know, you don't get around. And he thought, well, Abraham, I'll try it one more time. And he taps him on the shoulder, Mr. President.
Wow.
So Mr. President turns around and says, yes, Jack. He says, sir, I heard you mention Minnesota, Florida, and Oregon. He said, but you didn't mention California. Mm-hmm. And the president looked at him with kind of, you really think there's any chance of California? He's like, you got to be kidding, you know. He says, well, sir, I don't know where there's any chance of California, but this I do know. Yes, you love the impossible, sir, and California is impossible. So come on out, and we'll rally for you like never before. You'd be surprised. You just might win California.
Amen.
But guess what happened? The president went out. Jack's friend came up to him, first of all, and says, Jack Hibbs, let me tell you one thing. First of all, you never, never, never interrupt a president. And he just scolded my man. Secondly, you never touch a president. Did you see what security did when you touched his shoulder? He says, you do not. He says, you're not going to be invited back if that happens again. So Jack Hibbs went home to his hotel last night, and he said, I cried. And then I thought maybe I'm committing suicide. No, he was. That's what he told us. He said, but I have this for you. He says, I am going to believe God for California. And he said, we need to pray for this man. But I am now in planning. And he said, he just said this at the prophecy conference that just had Calvary Chapel East Anaheim, where Amir was there and Jan Martell. I don't know if you know these people, but anyway, he was telling us how he has been laid on his heart that he's going to rent the Pacific Amphitheater.
Yeah.
And he is going to have people come. And okay, but thank you. And people come. And he says, and I've already got Ben Shapiro and Kanan, what is that guy's name, Kanan West? The young, he's got him coming, and he's got, he told us three or four names. He said, and we're going to fill that place. We're going to go before the Lord on our prayer. We're going to fill the Pacific Amphitheater. Someone stands up and says, why not Anaheim Stadium? If we can fit Anaheim Stadium for a harvest, why can't we fill it with people who will stand behind our president? Even though there's much about him we do not like, I agree. I didn't want to vote for him. Right? It was a vote of lesser two evils. Anyway, that's a hard vote because lesser two evils is still evil. But a lot of people did not go to the polls last time. So we can't elevate the president. We're elevating Jesus.
Amen.
But at least he's standing for the most important thing that Jesus stands for, life and Israel. And two of the very critical things. So I just let you know about that. He will be there also on the 21st and 22nd. At Royal Research Center, calvarycurriculum.com is how you can find out about that. One other thing we'll be doing out there, and that is Simply the Story. How many of you have heard of the God Story Project or Simply the Story? One of the best. Good. And what it is, it's about 15 years ago, I learned this teaching technique. You guys that were here last time, listen to this again. A teaching technique where it shut me up. See, that's our trouble as teachers. We talk and talk and talk, and the kids sit there and listen and listen and listen. This technique of teaching will shut you up. You will just teach the story in less than 2 minutes, and then after that, you're asking questions, and they're answering. So it's a wonderful technique. They will actually go home with the entire Bible story by memory. How many of you can tell me a Bible story by memory, a complete Bible story? And they will. And I said, that's impossible. But God gave this vision to a little old lady called Dorothy Miller out of the middle of Hemet. She used to say, can any good thing come out of Hemet? But she said, I want something, God, that will show them the whole story and they'll remember. My kids aren't remembering. My adults aren't remembering. I want those key. So she put together 18, God said, keep it simple. She put together 18 key stories, and okay, from Genesis to Revelation, simple Bible stories that she took right out of Scripture and kept it all by itself. She said, each one's like a pearl. But if you put all the pearls together, can you see the whole necklace? Wow. So you can see it's the principle of teaching the Bible chronologically from beginning to end, perfectly and accurately, like we were good. And so then she began to teach this way, and her classes grew. After it grew, there was a Disney artist that said, hey, let's get pictures to go with your stories. After that came Jeremiah Films, and they put the thing called The God Story. It is a DVD with 18 key stories from Genesis to Revelation. You can buy it online. You go to godstory.org today. That film is in 430 languages all around the world, and the Bible is being taught orally. If you had to go to a Bible college today, would you have to be able to read or write?
No.
If you wanted to enroll in a Bible college today, would you have to be able to read or write?
Yes.
Not anymore. There are tens of thousands of oral Bible colleges now all over the world because of God Story. The God Story Project and the Simply the Story. It's all taught orally, and what you do is you simply tell the story. 2 minutes, then you ask for a volunteer, somebody else stands up and tells it back. This is how Simply the Story works, and you'll learn the technique from Andy, the director of the whole ministry, is going to be there on the 22nd with me. I'm going to let her do it. I'm going to sit in the background. You tell the story, you ask for a volunteer, they tell it again, then you tell it the third time by going through the facts, just like the oral interview. You just ask the question, where were we? We were in Cana of Galilee. What was it? There was a wedding. What happened? They ran out of wine. Who went to who? Mary went to Jesus. So you're going all through the facts, third time through? Now, how many times have the kids heard the story?
Three times.
You told it once, but other than that, you're asking questions. And everybody's telling the story now, right? Because they're filling in all the facts. Now, what's the fourth time? You ask spiritual observation questions. Oh, who went to who? What did she say?
Mary.
What did Mary say? They run out of wine. And what did Jesus said? Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My time is not yet come. And you go through all that, and then you ask, a question like, did you know that was the last time Mary talked? Yeah, really? She never spoke again. If she was here, boys and girls, what would she say? You ask questions. And Juan said, well, she'd probably tell us whatever Jesus said. We should listen to. And Cuervo in the back of the room said, does that mean I don't have to talk to Mary anymore? That's the kind of results I was getting. I was getting the kids, and then at the end, by the time you've done it five times, you've told the story. Someone else told it back. Everyone tells the story. You go through the story from beginning to end, asking spiritual observation questions. You go through it a fifth time, spiritual application questions. Can you think of a time when you or someone you knew got a no answer from Jesus? Have you ever got a no answer from Jesus or wait answer? And they'll start sharing, and they share in between, and they learn from each other. And by that time, they've got that story down cold, and they have to go tell it to someone else. We started with 8 kids or 9 kids in an after-school club in Santa Ana, and we wound up with 150.
Wow.
You know why? They went out and told the story. Juan, when you told your story, what happened? Well, I don't know, Miss Starley. Well, you told it to someone. Yeah, my grandpa. Really? But I had to tell it in Spanish. Was that okay? Yeah, it was okay, but tell me what happened. I don't know. Well, something happened. Yeah, well, he was crying at the end of the story, and he wants a Bible. Can I get a Bible for my grandpa?
Oh.
He wants to come.
Wow,
nice. Oh. I never had stuff like that happen before. Because they incorporate it, and then they go out and share it, and God's word doesn't return void. Because it goes from here to here. They get the application. You don't pass the application that you got. How many of you had an aha moment with God when you read the Bible? How many of you had an aha moment, right? Now you go tell a friend about that aha moment. Who's more excited, you or them?
You,
right? Because it was your aha moment, right? Well, that's why you don't want to tell them your application, which is what the curriculum wants you to do. See, the curriculum runs you. You want them to get it, and that's what Simply the Story does. That type of teaching. You can get training out in Hemet. Just go online, simplystory.com, or the God Story Project. They made it into a film. She was asked to Amsterdam 2000. Dorothy was asked, Billy Graham did a Amsterdam in the year 2000, gathered over 420 evangelists and teachers and missionaries in Amsterdam at that time. And she was asked to come because by that time, the God Story film was already put in 8 languages. Because that was their whole vision, was to get, they had the Jesus film. But see, that's where we made a mistake. We put the cart before the horse. We took the Jesus film and the Roman road, all New Testament, out to the world. All the New Testament. Instead of starting in the beginning, Creator God. So when they're showing this film, in the beginning, Creator God, I am, and it gets to Jesus, and Jesus starts saying, I am, they say, whoa, stop, whoa, you never told us that. Jesus was just one more about many gods. Okay? Do I stop? Okay, so that's what's happening. They're coming alive because they're finding out that you never told me he was creator God. I've always wanted to know creator God. So they take him off with just another God among the 5,000 gods, and they put him as creator God, and then they start asking questions. So that's what that whole movement does. It's called the God Story Project, and it's rapidly spreading around the world. They've lost count, actually, about how many oral Bible colleges there are now. Because what they do, they gather these villagers together, the evangelists, and they teach the story. They memorize all 16. When they got 16 down, they wanted more. And so when they get 66 together, 66 Bible stories memorized, basically, to the core. And then they get a little player and a graduation. You should see their graduate out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you're out in the middle of Malawi, Africa. And here they're all in their robes, and they're graduating from Bible college because they take that story and they go back and they teach it in their village. And then they come out and they teach it orally. Who keeps it pure? The Holy Spirit, because they make sure they got it accurate. And then right now they put it on a little recorder. It's not even the visual. They have a little teeny solar recorder this big, solar power. It's called a mega player. I can play it in a room the size of a gymnasium that size of a room, and the person in the back can hear it. It's an amazing little thing called mega player. We are finding reports coming back from the Middle East where women are wearing it under their burqas, and they're gathering together and hearing the whole Bible from beginning to end.
Wow.
And asking questions. They just finished a film. I was just part of that film. This is wonderful, where it actually trains you how to use the film. Otherwise, you play in the beginning God created, and then you stop it, and then you ask questions of your audience. Otherwise, you invite 10 people over to your house, or 3 people, or 10, whatever, and you play just 4 minutes of the movie. Stop it, then they have the questions on the screen, making it really easy. And they're showing the whole example of that. So that's how the film is being used all around the world. And like I say, over 420 languages already, and growing all the time. And so we're at the end. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at the end. Every nation has the gospel now. Not every tribe and tongue, but we're getting real close. It's spreading through tribes and tongues like wildflower. They cannot keep up with it. And yet this ministry, to show you that it has to be Holy Spirit, is being run in Hemet, California, out of a couple trailers with no paid staff. And what, you know, I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's all Holy Spirit. So I want to inspire you with that, and they will be teaching that at the conference, and then you'll learn more. You can go online and learn a lot about it, and you can get the film. You can get the DVD, or you can get just the oral version of it. Okay? So let's close with prayer, and I think we're going to go to lunch, right? Is that what we're going to do?
No.
One more? Is there one more? Oh, good. Okay, I'm going to let you go, but thank you so much. No, Jesus, thank you so much. Would you take each one of us and use us according to your Spirit, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Teach us, Lord, to hear your Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, go for it, teachers.
Thank you.
I have to clean up though for somebody in here.
Oh yeah, okay. I already cleaned up.
I will.
We have to teach this again.
Okay.
I think I'm doing it a second time.
Well, should we leave this here then?
Okay,
then we'll just leave it then.
Yeah. So I'm gonna leave that there because I'll be doing it later at the end of the day.
Okay.
No problem.
Hello. You're gonna do the songs?
Yes.
Okay.
So if she's on the chair, can I take them? Were they extra?
Yes.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good, how about you?
Good, let's go get some coffee.
We should have our rituals, you know what I'm saying?
It's just me though.
Okay, put that in my folder. Okay, put that on. Give everybody a few minutes to get in here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, hi. Thank you.
Just like that ace.
Yes, it keeps kicking in.
Okay, it does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not on constant.
I